Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome again to the Twin Steeples Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined today by Pastor Neil Radical. We are the two pastors at Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota, whose main goals are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. How are you today, Pastor?
I'm doing great. It's warm out. How are you doing?
Pretty nice and warm, enjoying the beautiful weather the Lord has blessed us with, and looking forward to getting into God's word with you today. Pastor, you want to lead us off with a devotion?
Yes, sir. 1 Peter 4:7, we're looking at this section from what Peter is trying to encourage the Christians in Jerusalem and around that area. These are circular letters, so it means that they were copied very, very carefully and shared with the congregations in around the area, the groups of Christians at that time. And there was a great deal of persecution at that time as well. So this verse could have been misunderstood what Peter was saying, but also could be understood in really a twofold way as well. He says here in chapter 4, verse 7 of his first epistle, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." That was from the New King James Version. So the end of all things is at hand. If you're really understanding according to the context, Peter is really reminding them of Judgment Day. The end of all things is at hand. He's pointing them ahead to Christ's return, keeping their eyes fixed on the Lord, the author and finisher of our faith, keeping their eyes and their soul fixed on things above versus things on earth. And of course, on earth at that time, many Christians could have been thinking that the end of all things was happening with the Romans really getting more and more aggressive and slaughtering Jerusalem at 70 AD, as Daniel had prophesied hundreds of years earlier. And so this really has a twofold understanding: one, of being ready for Judgment Day, and two, being ready for anything else that's happening that's so serious in this world. So I like the two words here that I'd like to spend just a second with, and I'm looking forward to hearing your comments on this too, Pastor Nauman, is serious and watchful. Depending on the translation of that, if you're reading like an NIV or something like that, it says, therefore be serious. That is literally of a sound mind, really alert. Watchful would be sober in spirit. So when he says, therefore be serious of a sound mind, sound would be like in harmony with God's word. That's a good way to understand it. Be of sound mind, be on edge, be ready for anything, and really cling to the word of God, cling to Christ, your Savior. That's what it means to be serious. We might tell a young person to be more spiritually mature. Of course, at any age, we know that's so important for us. So when Peter's saying, be serious, he's saying, be of wise understanding of what the word of God is promising. Be wise when it comes to the gospel of your Savior. Be wise, be serious when it comes to applying sound law and gospel and leading into watchful. Well, someone might say, well, if it means sober in spirit, I can be a drunk. No, sober means not having your judgment clouded, whether it be physically or spiritually. And so that's why Peter emphasizes that in our prayers, to be of a sober spirit, to be reflective on how we are alert and awake. You know, during the season of Lent, we've been talking about that a lot in our midweek services, Pastor Nauman, when we talk about how we are to be alert, to be watchful, be ready for whatever temptation might come our way. And of course, when we know that we're faced with the same types of temptations as well, to deny Christ, to disobey him, to not follow him, and to flee from him, to betray him, then we also need to be prayerful, to be serious and watchful in all we do, because we know the Lord's coming. And we don't have to be fearful of that, but we need to be serious about it. We need to be on the lookout for that, knowing that that great day is coming soon. So in our repentance and our joy of what Christ has done for us, it really gives us that encouragement that, yeah, the end of all things is at hand. Today is even more so than yesterday, and will be more so tomorrow. So the Lord could come at any moment. We want to be ready for that with joy and doing the work of our Savior, which is sharing that gospel message. Do you have any thoughts on the serious or watchful idea or any of this whole discussion?
Well, I think it's easy to read this verse and say, okay, now Christians have to be, we always have to be dour and no smiling, and make sure that when you're in church, you're only sad all the time. And then that's simply not what this is talking about. That word you'd mentioned there, serious, you know, it doesn't just mean we're always no jokes, no laughing, no happiness, no smiling. It really means to be honest with yourself and to be self-reflective about who you are and to be willing to honestly examine yourself in the truth of what God's word says. And the truth of what God's word says is, as he reveals to us, is that we are sinners and that we fail to live up to the expectations that God has for us. And that's a serious thing that will sober you up. And that's what the law is meant to do, is meant to help you to honestly evaluate yourself and help you to realize that you are fall short of the expectations that God has for you and for all people. But then it's also understanding the great love that God showed for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why Lent is a serious time, because we know the reason Christ went to the cross was to suffer and take away our sins. And because he did that, now we have eternal life. And now we can be watchful, as you mentioned there, looking for that final coming of the day of the Lord. You know, you might look at this and think, well, Peter wrote in the first century and he's saying the end of all things is at hand, but this was 2000 years ago. And I think it's important to note here that, you know, he's not talking in a descriptive way, but more of a prescriptive way. How should we live? He's prescribing for us the way in which we should live. And that is to always be expecting the end of things, to expect that Jesus is going to be coming again soon. So we should always be living in that, with the sense that the end is at hand, that the end of the world is near. And, you know, really when you consider your life and the frailty of life and the fact that you could get in a car accident on the way home today and die, or you could have a heart attack today and die, or the million ways that the Lord could end your life today, the end of all things is constantly at hand for all of us. And, you know, one of the shortcomings of many people in our world is the inability to wrap our mind around death and the inability to want to think about death at all. And death is such a foreign thing to so many people, because we would rather just ignore it than actually deal with it. But the truth is, we all are going to have to deal with the end of many of our loved ones and the end of our own lives eventually. And so it's important to constantly be reflecting on that thing, because when you're contemplating the end of your own life, you're really focusing on what's most important. And I always think of the jailer at Philippi. I remember he's about to end his own life, and if he didn't do it, somebody else was going to do it for him. And the end of my life is near. And when all of a sudden Paul comes out and says, "Don't harm yourself, man," he asked the most important question, which was, "Lord, or sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He's asking all about what comes after this life. When you're facing the end of your life, when you're thinking about the end of all things, the most important question is what comes next. And that's what that man wanted to know. And Paul gave him the important answer, which is repent, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your whole household. And that's what it means to know and think, be constantly thinking about the end of all things at hand. And it's a serious matter. It's not for joking. And when it comes to the end of all things, and something that is both comforting and reassuring for the Christian.
Well said. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you once again for this opportunity to spend time with you in your word. Thank you for blessing us with the Holy Spirit to give us understanding as you give us the clear joy that you endured the cross for our eternal glory. Help us to be both serious and joyful as we are being spiritually mindful of the things that you warn us of, to look forward to that day of eternal life that you have promised for us, but until then, to be able to share the eternal life that you have won for all through your work on the cross and the conquering of death itself. Use us therefore, Lord, to share this glorious gospel with all, to share our love for you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in your name we joyfully pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, a couple updates, reminders for you all this week. Today is March 10th, 2021. This evening we'll be continuing our Lenten study. Our theme this year is Walking with Peter. Pastor George Duman from over in Eagle Lake, our sister congregation there at Salem, will be leading our meditation as we consider Peter being confused and how the Lord leads him to being convinced. So we pray the Lord would bless our worship, whether in person or online this evening, as we study once again this topic that has to do with the Apostle Peter. Coming up next weekend, we are hosting a tour choir concert. Pastor, you want to speak a little bit to that?
Yes, Friday, March 19th at 7 p.m., Eau Claire, the tour choir will be coming through the area. They're heading on their way back from their South Dakota trip. So they're presenting the gospel here in a special concert. The deacons have discussed how this could all take place with the current COVID restrictions. So here are some of the quick guidelines on that. It's a first come, first serve, up to 200, 250 is what we can actually have, but we're going to be having an online sign up. You should be seeing that in the links or on the or on our emails that are sent out. So please look for that and sign up if you're planning on attending. Real simple sign up, should only take you about 5-10 seconds. We're going to be keeping the front three pews empty and reserved, and the choir will be spread out up front with their special masks that they're going to be wearing. So we're looking forward to this wonderful gospel message, and I'm excited for them to be in our large church here because, you know, we have pretty decent acoustics and should be a very wonderful concert. Really hope that people can take advantage of this. It doesn't always happen that they can come through. And I think it's been, what I've been told, several years since the choir has been able to come through. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, and it's a fun experience for the kids too. I know you were on tour choir quite a few years during your years at Emmanuel, and I think I was on it 4 or 5 years or something like that too. So it's a real blessing, not just for the congregation, but also for the children to be able to sing God's praises, and they're looking for the opportunity to share the gospel with you. So please take an opportunity to do that.
And some of them have probably never even been to our church before. I think that's the case every year. So it's nice to be able to welcome them and show them around.
Absolutely. Final reminder this week for the Red Cross Blood Drive, which is this Friday. There is no school this Friday. This Friday was going to be the CLC grade school basketball tournament, which was canceled. So this Friday we have a Red Cross blood drive taking place in the gym. Please, I think I just checked, we have about 5 or 6 slots left available if you'd like to sign up for that. Otherwise, if you'd like to volunteer and help, please get in contact with me. We continue to keep the three gentlemen who have received calls. We have called Mr. Eric Libby and Mr. Kevin Schrader to our high school level positions that are available right now. So we'll keep those two gentlemen in our prayers. We also pray for Mr. Matthew Kranz, our 5th and 6th grade teacher, who's received the call to Emmanuel in Winter Haven, Florida. So we pray that the Lord would lead all three of these gentlemen to his holy will for them. On our prayer list this week, we keep Tony Schauman in our prayers, who had a car accident and has knee surgery yesterday. Correct, Tuesday. We'll see, he'll look to hear how that goes, but keep Tony in our prayers. We also continue to pray for Axon Sarah Becker. Axon is, of course, over in California. They had a young baby boy, Malachi Robert Becker. We also pray for Max Bodie, who is deployed once again as a part of his military term as well. So we pray for Max. We pray for Marie Meyer, the sister of Grace Schreier, who is still dealing with cancer over in Red Wing, a member of our sister congregation over there. And we keep Carla Omanson's sister, Lori, in our prayers. She's dealing with a glioblastoma and receiving treatment for that brain cancer as well. This brings us to our doctrine of the day today. Pastor, you want to introduce for us the topic of the second coming of Christ?
Yes, sir. So this teaching is something that is really widely debated about among Christianity today. There's a lot of very confusing notions as far as when Christ is going to return. In fact, there's a lot of, I would guess, so-called Christian groups out there. They're more like cults that believe, you think of like the Mary Baker Eddy or the Christian Scientist groups that say that they can predict when Jesus will come again. And ultimately, in their predictions, it's really kind of confusing what they point to. Jehovah's Witnesses are another group, and even the Mormons too. A lot of different beliefs out there about the second coming of Christ, when the last day will be, judgment day, the predictions of when it'll happen. And a lot of it is just very easily refuted or properly understood in light of a few Bible verses. And the problem is that they're misinterpreting Bible verses that are leading them to believe in Christ's earthly reign before judgment day. That's ultimately what it comes down to. So many of the false teachings today when it comes to post-Christ resurrection, post-Christ ascension into heaven is when he descends again on judgment day or before when that would take place. So the second coming of Christ, the main false teachings have to do with what you hear as millennialism, premillennialism, post-millennialism, post-tribulation, all of these different theories on when Christ will be turn are said to be scripturally based, but ultimately conflict with the very simple point of doctrine that we don't know when he's going to come to return. And I think that fits pretty well with our devotion, that we should be ready at all times, that even if he does, as they say, if he does come first, he's not going to be reigning here on earth pre-judgment day. He already is reigning in our hearts here on earth pre-judgment day. And so we can look forward to the new heavens and new earth post-judgment day. So again, I'm probably even saying this a little bit more confusing, but the simplest way to look at it is that when Christ comes the second time, it is judgment day, nothing in between. I'll let you talk a little bit so I don't get too a lot of thoughts going through my mind right now. So,
I think you said it well. And I think the main point I was trying to emphasize with this topic is there's a very simple and old misunderstanding about the purpose and mission of Jesus Christ. And that misunderstanding traces its way all the way back to the Old Testament, which is, what was the purpose of Jesus? The purpose of Jesus was not to come to earth to establish an earthly kingdom. You know, this is what the Jews were so confused about. This is what Peter and the apostles were looking for. When Peter said, "Far be it from you, Lord, you shouldn't suffer." Or when the disciples asked in Acts chapter 1, "Lord, now are you going to establish your kingdom here on earth?" Jesus did not come to establish an earthly kingdom. Jesus came to establish a heavenly kingdom. And like you said, his kingdom is in our hearts. And that is the kingdom that he established. His work among us, his work of winning salvation for us on the cross, of sending the Holy Spirit, of speaking his word to the apostles, so that the word now works in our hearts, that trust that looks to him for salvation and him alone for salvation. That was his work. That was his goal. That is his kingdom, is the kingdom he established in our hearts. Now, many people at the time of Jesus were looking for an earthly kingdom, and sadly, many people today are still looking for an earthly kingdom. And so when they talk about the second coming of Christ, they look to a couple of, you know, two verses in the book of Revelation, which speaks about 1,000 years. And you know, for all this talk about millennium, that word 1,000 years shows up 2 times in a matter of a couple of verses in the book of Revelation. And from that, they base this massive false teaching of the idea that Christ will come and reign again for 1,000 years. When truthfully, Jesus has no interest in establishing an earthly kingdom. He has no goal in coming to earth and reigning in Jerusalem for 1,000 years or setting up any type of an earthly kingdom. And frankly, it's really pretty contrary to most of what you read about in scripture, which has so many warnings about falling away and so many warnings about, you know, the judgment that is to come. You know, if you go back to the end is at hand with the devotion we had today, you know, it's contrary to God's word, to so much of what God tells us, that the idea that people would have a second chance or that Christ is going to reign and you're going to have a second chance to turn to him and try again at this faith concept. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so it runs contrary to our simple biblical understanding of what faith is, to have Jesus appear again and then have people have a second chance to trust in him, but no longer based on things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, but now based on things you can see and Jesus ruling in Jerusalem. It just doesn't make sense biblically, and it doesn't read well with what we understand from the rest of scripture. And that's that simple biblical rule we have for interpreting the Bible, is let scripture interpret scripture. And the doctrine of the millennium does not line up with what we read about in the rest of the Bible. And that's why when we talk about the second coming of Christ, as you mentioned, we talk about it as judgment day, as the final day of judgment. The writer of the Hebrews says it is for man to live once and then the judgment. Christ is going to come, and then we will be judged on whether we trust in Jesus for salvation, we trust in him and his good works and his salvation, or if we're trusting in ourselves and our own good works and the things that we have done. And sadly, if we trust in ourselves, that will result in eternal punishment. And sadly, but justly, there are many people who will do that. But if we trust in Jesus for salvation, we will be welcome to the eternal gates of paradise, and we'll spend forever with the Lord there in heaven. So when it comes to the second coming of Christ, again, very simply, I believe it's a misunderstanding of the true purpose of Jesus and his mission, which was not to establish an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom.
Thank you very much. I think with those closing comments there, one of the things you said with the opening devotion about when the Lord returns, that for each one of us, it is close. You know, would it be the end of our life, which would usher in judgment day, or if he were to come while we're still alive, as 1 Thessalonians points out, this hymn that we've selected for today from the Red Hymnal, "The Day is Surely Drawing Near," I think really summarizes everything we've talked about today, especially the comments you just made a moment ago. So we'll close with this. It's hymn 611. I'm going to be reading 1, 2, 5, and 7. "The day is surely drawing near when God's Son, the Anointed, shall with great majesty appear as judge of all appointed. All mirth and laughter then shall cease when flames on flames will still increase, as Scripture truly teacheth. A trumpet loud shall then resound and all the earth be shaken. Then all who in their graves are found shall from their sleep awaken. But all that live shall in that hour by the Almighty's boundless power be changed at his commanding. O Jesus, who my debt didst pay, and for my sin was smitten, within the book of life, O may my name be also written. I will not doubt, I trust in thee. From Satan thou hast made me free, and from all condemnation. O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. Then hear us when we cry to thee. Come, mighty judge, and make us free from every evil. Amen."
Amen. Thank you for joining us once again on the Twin Steeples podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, may God bless and keep you, and may you always remember Emmanuel, God with you.